Let's get straight into it because the world of geopolitics has been turned completely on its head. And frankly, the mainstream media seems utterly incapable of telling you the real story behind the chaos. While you were sleeping, the Australian government has performed what can only be described as a spectacular and humiliating U-turn.
Good morning. Let's get straight to that breaking news. With the war in Iran continuing to be felt here at home. This morning, Australia's largest airline, Qantas, is announcing it's slashing flights due to the fuel crisis.
As we go to air, concerns are mounting over Australia's food supply, with the global oil crisis sparking real fears of shortages on our supermarket shelves.
The nation's fuel crisis is spilling into workplaces, with some employers reporting problems with staff getting to work or not showing up at all.
One that is sending shockwaves, not just through Canberra, but all the way to the war rooms of Tel Aviv and the chaotic halls of the Trump White House. After months of groveling at the feet of Washington and quietly allowing its intelligence apparatus to be infiltrated by the ruthless operatives of Mossad, Prime Minister Anthony Albanese's hand has been forced, not by a sudden crisis of conscience over the war criminal Benjamin Netanyahu's blood-soaked rampage through Lebanon and his repeated threats to tear up every ceasefire and reduce Iran to rubble, but by the cold, hard reality of an empty fuel tank. As Netanyahu vows to continue his barbaric military adventures and the United States rattles sabers over a non-existent nuclear weapons threat, Australia has been forced to slam the brakes on military ties with the Zionist entity and sharply curtail defense engagement with Donald Trump's increasingly erratic White House. Why? Because the Australian economy is gasping for air, and the only lifeline comes from Muslim-majority nations like Brunei, Darussalam, and key Asian refiners who have made one thing abundantly clear. They will not do business with a nation whose security services are crawling with Israeli spies. This is not a diplomatic nicety. This is a brutal, behind-the-scenes espionage thriller colliding with a full-blown economic meltdown. In a move that the Canberra establishment is desperately trying to downplay, a secret high-level message was conveyed directly to the Mossad station chief in Australia. Wrap up your operations and do it now. This unprecedented demand came after several Muslim oil suppliers, key to keeping Australia's mining trucks and agricultural tractors moving, lodged furious complaints that Mossad was actively monitoring their sovereign financial transactions with the Australian government. They have rightfully accused the demonic Israeli intelligence organization of exposing them to malicious targeting and sabotage. The result? A quiet but frantic expulsion, or, shall we say, requested departure, of several Mossad agents who had been embedded deep within the Australian Secret Intelligence Service, ASIS, and the Australian Security Intelligence Organization, SEO. These agents, who had deepened their tendrils following the Bondi shooting incident and various false flag arson attacks blamed on others, have been told to pack their bags and leave the continent immediately. This is a seismic fracture in the Five Eyes alliance, one driven not by virtue, but by the visceral fear of a nation running out of fuel as the Strait of Hormuz remains choked by the fallout of illegal American and Israeli aggression. Before we dive deeper into the dirty laundry of this intelligence war and the catastrophic energy numbers that will make your jaw drop, I need you to do something crucial. The algorithms that control what you see are designed to suppress exactly this kind of narrative. They want you to watch the sanitized pro-Western drivel. So, if you want honest journalism, if you want to understand why your government is scrambling like a rat in a cage, smash that like button right now. Drop a comment below. Literally, even just a dot or an emoji, or better yet, a thought on this betrayal, because that signal of engagement is the only weapon we have against the corporate instite and state-run censorship machines that are trying to starve this channel of oxygen. And if you haven't yet, subscribe and ring the bell. We are about to lay out a level of detail on Australia's oil vulnerability and intelligence complicity that the corporate media has been too afraid to touch. Now, let's talk about the oil. The real reason Anthony Albanese is currently on his knees in palaces across Southeast Asia. To understand the sheer scale of this crisis, you have to understand the history of how Australia sleepwalked into a state of complete energy emasculation. There was a time, back in the 1970s, when this continent was mostly self-sufficient. When the global oil shocks hit, Australia was cushioned by the timely discovery of domestic crude in Bass Strait and a healthy refining capacity. Back then, it produced about 70% of its own liquid fuel needs. Fast forward to 2026, and the picture is nothing short of a national disgrace. Due to decades of deliberate policy neglect and the offshoring of refining capacity to Singapore and South Korea, Australia has been hollowed out. Today, the country's domestic oil production accounts for a pathetic 5.6% of national demand. We have just two remaining refineries, the Ampol plant in Lytton, Brisbane, and the beleaguered Viva Energy facility in Geelong, which together meet a mere 17% of our refined product needs. That means Australia is now reliant on imports for roughly 80 to 90% of its transport fuels, making it the world's largest importer of diesel and the holder of the most precarious fuel position of any International Energy Agency member. We are required to hold 90 days of reserves. We hold an average of just 30 days of diesel. And that is not a buffer. That is a countdown clock to economic paralysis. The numbers are chilling. Australia consumes around 1.1 million barrels of oil products every single day. Of that, we import approximately 850,000 barrels. When the United States and Israel launched their illegal unprovoked attack on Iran and Tehran, responded by effectively shutting the Strait of Hormuz, that narrow passage through which a fifth of the world's oil flows, the supply chain didn't just strain, it snapped like a brittle bone. Wholesale diesel prices more than doubled overnight. The government has been forced to release over 700 million liters from the strategic stockpile just to keep regional pumps wet. And even then, hundreds of service stations have run completely dry. Prime Minister Albanese, new emergency powers, but let's be brutally honest here. 100 million liters is a drop in a bucket when you consider that a single large mining haul truck burns through over 10,000 liters a day. This is a catastrophic vulnerability that was entirely predictable. The closure of refineries in Clyde and Kurnell a decade ago, waved through by a government that thought globalized supply chains were infallible, has left Australia hostage to the whims of Asian exporters. And now, those Asian suppliers, the massive refining complexes in Singapore, the plants in South Korea, and the facilities in Malaysia, are hoarding their own fuel because the crude oil they rely on from the Gulf has stopped flowing. They are cutting off exports to keep their own cars running, leaving Australia stranded at the far end of the supply chain, screaming for fuel. This brings us to the unspoken, ugly truth behind the Albanese government's sudden moral clarity. The Asian suppliers that Australia is now begging for mercy, Brunei, Malaysia, and others in the region, are predominantly Muslim nations with long-standing trade and cultural ties to the Islamic world. They are watching with disgust as Netanyahu's war machine pulverizes Lebanon and threatens to set the entire Persian Gulf ablaze. And more importantly, their intelligence services and financial regulators have been tracking the movements of Mossad agents operating with impunity on Australian soil. The arrangement had been relatively cozy for years. Following the Bondi shooting and a wave of suspicious arson attacks on synagogues that were hastily blamed on Iran, a narrative that has since crumbled under scrutiny as a possible Mossad false flag to drag Australia into the war, the Israeli spy agency was given even greater access to ASIO and ASIS. They were embedded, sharing interoperability hooks and running operations under the cover of Australian sovereignty. But the Muslim-majority oil states issued a private, blistering ultimatum to Foreign Minister Penny Wong and the Albanese PMO. The message was clear. If we see Mossad agents using Australian territory to monitor our energy deals, or if we find any evidence that Israeli intelligence is using Australian financial channels to sabotage our transactions, the fuel spigot is turned off permanently. And that is precisely why you are now seeing the quiet, unannounced purge of Israeli operatives from the ranks of ASIS and ASIO. This is a repeat of the 2010 scandal where Australia expelled an Israeli diplomat after it was proven that Mossad forged four Australian passports for the assassination of Mahmoud Mabhouh in Dubai. But back then, Australia still had a bit more fuel in the tank, and a bit less to lose. Today, the stakes are existential. The Australian economy, so heavily reliant on diesel for mining, agriculture, and long-haul road transport, cannot survive a prolonged blockade of the Strait of Hormuz. The war on Iran, this entirely manufactured crisis born from Trump's temper tantrum over the JCPOA and Netanyahu's insatiable lust for regional hegemony, is set to change the entire security architecture of the Indo-Pacific. Canberra is waking up to the fact that its historical security partnership with the US and Israel symbolized by the spy base at Pine Gap, which feeds real-time targeting data to the Israeli military, is now a direct liability. If Iran decides to fully retaliate against U.S. and Israeli shipping, or if the conflict widens, Australia's reliance on Pine Gap as a place of aggression makes it a legitimate target in the crosshairs of any defensive response from Tehran. We need to be clear-eyed about the fury and the betrayal here. The United States and Israel attacked Iran unprovoked, illegally, and under the flimsiest of pretexts, a nuclear weapons threat that the IAEA and global intelligence have repeatedly debunked. They are the aggressors, they are the mongers of war. Netanyahu, a man who should be sitting in a cell in The Hague for crimes against humanity, is the one threatening to break ceasefires, not Tehran. Trump, a man who has turned American foreign policy into a protection racket for his personal ego, is the one imposing a naval blockade that is starving the global economy. And yet it is nations like Australia that are forced to pay the price, running around like headless chickens, begging for fuel from the very nations they were recently complicit in surveilling. The fury within the Australian electorate is palpable. They are paying over $2 a liter at the Bowser, not because of market forces, but because their government outsourced national security to a foreign spy agency and backed a war criminal in Tel Aviv. Finally, we have to look at what this means for the future of the alliance. Australia is trapped. On one side, it has the AUKUS nuclear submarine deal with the US and UK, a multi-billion dollar white elephant designed to provoke China. On the other side, it has an economy that is 100% dependent on the free flow of oil and gas through sea lanes that Iran effectively controls in the Persian Gulf. You cannot serve two masters in this geopolitical storm. You cannot stand at Pine Gap providing intelligence to the Israeli military as it bombs Iranian allies and expect to get cheap diesel from Asian refineries that process Iranian-adjacent crude. The Albanese government is now, out of sheer terror and economic desperation, starting to hedge its bets. It is distancing from Trump, who has publicly labeled Australia not great for refusing to send troops to die in his illegal war. It is cutting military ties with Israel, albeit quietly, to appease the oil suppliers. This is not a policy of conviction, it is a policy of panic. But for the people of Australia, the message is finally sinking in. Aligning with the war criminals in Washington and Tel Aviv doesn't bring security. It brings inflation, empty service stations, and a ticking clock to economic collapse. And as long as the Strait of Hormuz remains a flashpoint, this crisis is just the beginning of a very long, very painful wake-up call for the lucky country. Stay tuned for more updates as this situation continues to unravel.